Yes, hi, hello, and welcome inside a Friday edition of the program. Again, I have to think because obviously being off the first 3 days of this week, I'm all warped on my timing this week. But hope you're having a great day and ready for what is going to be a wild couple 24 hours. Not just couple, but 24 of them. Yes. Tonight, that is, with Ball State men's basketball and their trek, whether they're headed to Cleveland or not, their final regular season game tonight, that is at Bowling Green. That is something we will be talking about with Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News, who I believe is in Bowling Green tonight to cover the matchup that has a lot of ramifications a part of it. So we'll talk to Kyle coming up here in about 25 minutes or so, and we'll break it all down for you. Also, a little bit later in the program, we'll have Rob Fisher, our analyst on high school broadcast, a couple of regional championship games tomorrow night. And I got to tell you, folks, I remember last year when we had both Wapahani and Delta in the semi-state and talking about the rarity of that happening in Delaware County. That could happen two straight years. And I looked back, and Rob Fisher and I looked back last year, and we might rekindle this conversation coming up here in a little bit about all of this, because it is really, really rare in our area to have two regional champions. It could happen again tomorrow, as both Delta and Wapahani are at the LaPel Regional. For the 2A side, it's Wapahani and Tipton. That's a 1 o'clock tip. And then for the 3A side of things, it is Delta versus Fort Wayne Concordia at a 4 o'clock tip. So we'll have both games on radio on Blake FM tomorrow, as well as video ihsatv.org, and just search Wolf Boom in the affiliates page. You can also watch it on your phone. You can watch it on your smart TV. You can watch it a variety of different ways if you'd like to listen and watch, or whatever the case may be. I know it's a busy Saturday for a lot of people coming up tomorrow, but what I've heard, this is from a couple of coaches, we might have a sold-out arena at LaPel High School coming up tomorrow for those two matchups. I have heard rumors that the Newcastle Fieldhouse could be sold out for the Kokomo Fishers matchup. That is a matchup of number one Fishers versus a top-five-ranked Kokomo team that has one of the most exciting recruits in the entire United States of America, and that being Flory Badunga. I have also heard there are other sites around the state. I believe Southport is going to be full. I mean, folks, can I just get on my soapbox real quick? For those of you that say, oh, nobody goes to high school basketball anymore, oh, the class system ruined it, well, you best not pay attention to what's happened the last couple of weekends. I'm just telling you, don't pay attention if you have that mindset, because it is not the case. It is not the case. You can have your opinions about the class stuff and the non-class stuff and all those different things. I'm not going to change your opinion, and I really haven't given my thoughts on the whole class, non-class, whatever the case may be, but it seems to be a very convenient topic of conversation that, oh, hey, ever since they went class, there's nobody that goes to these games. So I don't know. We've been reminiscing about 2019 for the last several years, and for some reason or another, this year, there are places getting sold out quicker than ever before. Greenfield Central was packed for the Greenfield Central New Palestine Sectional Championship. So, again, if you're in the camp that nobody goes to high school basketball anymore, I can't help you, because the numbers and the venues would beg to differ. I mean, they're standing room only at these places. Standing room only. So the Hoosier hysteria stuff is very much still a deal. You may not go anymore, and that's okay. That's all right. I'm not trying to, you know, push this down your, you know, into your head. I deal with facts, and the facts are these places are going to be rocking tomorrow. Absolutely rocking. I remember we were up at Elkhart last year. Elkhart was sold out. I mean, nearly sold out. I mean, 95% of it was full. For two teams that were about an hour to longer away for the Northwood Delta matchup last year in the semi-state championship. So, again, I know that, you know, people want to have their opinions and maybe not deal with the facts at play. Let me just help you. About all of that. So we've got a lot of basketball to talk about as far as that is concerned. Pacers got punched in the mouth a little bit last night by the Minnesota Timberwolves that didn't have Karl Anthony Towns, but they certainly did have Anthony Edwards. He's pretty good. Wow, is he good. I mean, he made three or four plays in the final 2 minutes that will just make you jump out of your seat. He is certainly exciting, and the Pacers had another one of those games where you kind of shake your head and you wonder what this team's about, and the standings are getting further and further away in the Eastern Conference. You know, I think the Pacers are going to be in the playoff conversation. It's just a matter of if they're in the play-in or if they're actually a team that's going to play a first-round playoff series. And there's a major difference. Major difference. And I would have a lot of skepticism when it comes to this basketball team having to navigate the play-in against mediocre teams because they just haven't been very good against those mediocre teams. So anyway, a lot going on there. By the way, coming up on Monday officially opens the tampering window in the NFL. I love how they label it official league tampering. Folks, let me tell you something. The tampering's been happening ever since the Super Bowl. Teams have contacted players. So when you say the official tampering window, it's very convenient. Let's say it's noon on Monday, which it very might well be. Noon on Monday, you will see deals happen a minute after the official quote-unquote tampering window opens. Don't follow that calendar. Follow the fact that a lot of these deals are probably already agreed to. Just telling you, you may want to follow that script. I'm telling you, a lot of these deals are already done. So I guess we'll see how active or how inactive the Indianapolis Colts are coming up on Monday as far as the free agency window. But we have a lot to get to about tonight. And that is Ball State men's basketball. A matchup against Bowling Green. And the simple deal of this, again, will remind you and will probably remind you a couple of times today. Final day of the regular season for the Mid-American Conference men's basketball side of things. Ball State needs to win against Bowling Green and hope for wins for Akron and for Toledo over Western Michigan and Kent State, respectively. All three of those scenarios need to occur in order for Ball State to go to Cleveland next week on the men's basketball side. So, you know, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Now, I was a little sleep-deprived yesterday, so thanks for hanging with me yesterday because I got done with that show yesterday, and I'm like, man, oh, man, am I need some Z's, man. I need to take a little bit of a rest here. So we're much more energized today, but we did break it down pretty darn well yesterday, and let's break it down even further today. I think you know, one way or the other, how this season's going to be kind of viewed. Now, again, you take what's been said about this team this year by head coach Michael Lewis about the players and the self-accountability and the different things that they need to fix and all those sorts of things. It was a week or two ago that it was asked to coach about, you know, the jeopardy that they were in of not making the Mid-American Conference tournament. And coach was very honest, say, we're not to a point where we feel like we can even play with those teams where our progression is right now. But you're in the position to get there. You would be naive to say that this team, of course, doesn't want to play in the Mid-American Conference tournament. Of course they do. Of course they do. And does it come to a point where if they make it, it's certainly above and beyond, because certainly they need a lot of help today, and it's been such an up and down season. It's been a lot of close losses. It's been fumbling away moments in the final seconds. It's been a lot of that. Like, I don't know if going to Cleveland, as much as it would be fun to cover this team going to Cleveland, is going to change the narrative on this season unless they went to Cleveland and had a major, major, major run. And they got hot at the right time, which I'm telling you isn't out of the realm of possibility. I mean, they just won against a Kent State team that is fighting to hold on to one of those 7-8 seeds in the conference, and they did it without their best player on the floor. So it's not like this is impossible, and it truly is one of those things where you get in and you see what happens, and you play out there, and you almost play with a little bit of less stress on your shoulders, knowing that nobody expects anything of you anyway, if you happen to make it to Cleveland. But as it comes to tonight, this is the question that was posed to me. Does tonight matter as far as if Ball State doesn't get in or they do get in? Does it change the narrative on the season? And I will say this, it will allow them to play extra basketball. But at the end of the day, I think you know where this season is going. I think you really, really do. As much as the development, I feel like these guards have gotten so much better. Davion Bailey, Jalen Anderson, the confidence that has grown over the year with Bashir Jihad. I think the development piece of this basketball team has been really, really impressive. And also at the end of the day, you got to look at it from this lens as well. We've been talking about the lack of bench play. This year, they haven't been able to go as deep on the bench as they have, as they did certainly last year and in years past. And I think that certainly puts it in that position. Did this team reach its potential? I don't know if it did. I just don't know if it did, because you go back to all the missed opportunities, and oftentimes the story of your year comes down to how you perform in pressure moments, how you perform in those games that are decided in the last 5 minutes of the game. How many of those games has Ball State had this year, and how have they done in those games? They haven't done quite well in those. And, you know, shoot, if you flip two of those, you're in the Mid-American Conference Tournament. I mean, the small sample size that is, that tells a lot about your season. So, I'm not coming on the radio today to tell you that this is a negative season or anything along those lines. No, I think the message is this: regardless if they get in or not, barring a huge run in Cleveland, this season has kind of been defined in a way. And that's coming from me, nobody else. So, you know, and it's been described by coach, it's been described by the players, and it would be outstanding if they found a way to get into Cleveland. It's been exciting down the stretch, and, you know, this team has, I think, really developed. I don't know if they ever have reached their peak. I don't know if they have or not, but you have the opportunity tonight against Bowling Green on the road. And here's the deal about this matchup. It's not like, and we mentioned it yesterday, Bowling Green has something to play for. Western Michigan has something to play for. Kent State has something to play for. Akron and Toledo, in a sense, have something to play for, even though that they are locks for the Mid-American Conference Tournament, that being Akron and that being Toledo. They can still figure out one and two seeds, all those different things. So you've got all of these teams having something to play for, and I don't know how many other conferences that could really say that about their respective teams, because when you get to the last week of the regular season, a lot of these conferences are very spread out already, and the seeds are already pretty well defined. That is not the case in the Mid-American Conference. All the way from 1-2, down to the middle, down to the very bottom. Typically, we're talking about the bubble teams or the teams right on the edge to get in. In this case, it happens to be Ball State in that situation. I have no idea what's going to happen tonight. It is irresponsible of me to predict. It is irresponsible of me to say, oh, man, do you think Akron and Toledo can win and Ball State can win? And I would imagine that's certainly the message to the players, because the fact of the matter is, like, you can't let somebody else dictate this for you, because if you lose to Bowling Green, that whole scenario blows up in smoke. The whole scenario blows up in smoke. So you got to win. You got to play well doing it. And if the chips fall where they do, so be it. So be it. You see how it all plays out. But I would expect them to play very well. They've done so on the road all season long in Mid-American Conference play. And we'll see if Bashir Jihad's coming back. I haven't heard one way or the other. We'll ask Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News, who's in Bowling Green right now, as we'll preview that coming up here in a matter of moments. But that's a big matchup. Ball State women's basketball coming up tomorrow as they finish out their regular season, and they're pretty set at the number two seed, and they will be headed to Cleveland coming up next week for the Mid-American Conference Tournament. We already have other tournaments happening. The Missouri Valley Conference is having their conference tournament this week. A lot of the conference tournaments that occur this week are the ones that, A, want to get the national exposure but can't during all of the Power Fives coinciding, the SEC, the ACC, the Big East, the Big Ten. All of those are going to occur next week, including the Mid-American Conference Tournament as well. But I think fans are going to be really interested or state college basketball fans are going to be very interested to see if Indiana State gets in. Indiana State, by the way, is a team that Ball State played earlier in the season, if you recall, at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So Indiana State, are they good enough to be an at-large team? I think it's going to be very interesting. I did not see what occurred today. I'm not sure if they were able to win today. They were playing Missouri State. This is great. Great local radio right here when you just pull it right up and see what happens. And they did, in fact, beat Missouri State 75-59. So they have a matchup coming up tomorrow in the semifinals, and then Sunday is the actual conference tournament game, championship game. I wonder if all Indiana State needs to do is just find a way to get to the tournament championship game. That if they lost in their tournament championship, I think I heard it today, Indiana State is ranked in the top 31 in the net, which means in the history of the net, anybody that's been inside the top 31 teams has always made the NCAA tournament, regardless if they won their conference championship or not. I think that I had that correctly. So that would seem to bode well for Indiana State, but as you know, in mid-major conferences, not always is your resume, can it be comparable to a team at, you know, third or fourth or fifth in the Big Ten, SEC, etc. So that would be a little bit of the worry for Indiana State, but they took care of business today. They beat Missouri State earlier today, and we'll have a semifinal matchup coming up tomorrow in the Missouri Valley Conference side of things. So the Big Ten tournament will occur next week. We'll see Indiana-Purdue and that, the Big East with Butler. Butler had a nice win last night. So as we go into next week, we certainly will be talking about a lot of the other Indiana college basketball teams. You know, I think Butler certainly needs to have a really good showing in the Big East, probably win it. Indiana, we know where they stand. Purdue's going to be in. Is Indiana State going to be in is really the next question. And then for Ball State, as we know, having to win tonight, get some help, and get in their conference tournament, we'll see. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. It kind of sprints on you, right? College basketball and everything along those lines, it really has kind of hit you by surprise a little bit. But next week is seriously one of the best weeks of the year. And then the following week, obviously, for the Thursday-Friday madness, we understand that. But I love next week. I really, really do. I think conference tournament week, you get to learn a lot about these teams in urgency moments. And that, to me, is really, really exciting. And it's not always the Purdues and the UConns and those that star. I mean, I remember several years back that Kemba Walker UConn team that went all the way to Madison Square Garden, won the Big East Championship, and then they ended up sprinting through the NCAA tournament to a championship over Butler. I'm sorry, Butler fans, if you're out there. But oftentimes you can get hot during next week, and it really propel you into the NCAA tournament side of things. So I'm excited for everything that comes over the next 2 weeks. So thanks to those of you joining us on Facebook Live. Appreciate that very, very much. We got a loaded show today with a lot of basketball talk. The high school variety, Rob Fisher is going to join us here in a little bit. And, of course, the college basketball variety. Kyle Smedley and Zach Carter from the Ball State Daily News are at Bowling Green to cover this game in person. Kyle Smedley is going to join us here in a little bit to talk all about the scenarios and everything surrounding what can occur for Ball State tonight. It's going to be an interesting night. It absolutely will. If you want to monitor three games, you certainly can. I believe the Akron game's at 6, Ball State at 7, and then Toledo tips off at 8 o'clock. So all of those will likely be complete just after 10 tonight, and we'll know very, very rapidly if Ball State's in, if they're not in the Mid-American Conference Tournament. So let's talk about all the scenarios. Kyle Smedley, Ball State Daily News with us right after this. Power Talk among CWMUN. We're presented each and every day by Walls Furniture and Mattress, Nebo Road in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com. 90% of what's on the showroom floor in stock for you 48 hours or less. That's the Walls Furniture and Mattress difference on Nebo Road right here in Muncie, and online at wallsfurniture.com. As we welcome in Kyle Smedley, he's from the Ball State Daily News Sports Department, and Ball State going for a big one tonight against Bowling Green. It's the difference between Mid-American Conference Tournament or not. And Kyle, are you guys there yet, or on the way to Bowling Green?
Yeah, we're not quite there yet. I think we've got about an hour and a half to go. Looking to get there about 6 o'clock. Tip off at 7.
There you are.
But we're on the way. We're in the car right now.
I was going to say the scenic views of going down south through Kentucky.
A lot of empty cornfields, trees, rain.
But you know what? That's what a lot of people that travel through or visit Indiana say about us as well. So I guess we don't really have a leg to stand on when it comes to that, Kyle.
We don't. Very true. It's pretty much a seamless transition between Indiana and Ohio. It looks the exact same.
Oh, goodness. Goodness gracious. And did I say Kentucky? I'm in Ohio. The craziness. All right.
I thought you said Ohio. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I was looking up Bowling Green's schedule, and it brought up Bowling Green, Kentucky. And sometimes I'm just like a TV reporter, Kyle. If you put a teleprompter in front of me, I'll read whatever's in front of me. So I probably shouldn't put that out on the air. But whatever.
So, just like Anchorman, Ron Burgundy.
There you are. Yeah, just trying to follow the lead of one of the greatest to ever do it. Kyle Smedley, yep. Ball State Daily News with us. All right, if I were to give you 60 seconds to have the floor and you describe tonight and what it means to this program and all the different things surrounding this one night, what is the first kind of thing that comes to mind?
Well, I said it earlier on X, and this is the most important game of the season for Ball State. It goes without saying. You win, you have a chance to make the MAC tournament. You lose, you know, you don't have any chance at all. Obviously, there's other factors that go into it. Western Michigan plays at 6 o'clock. The Broncos have to lose. Kent State plays at 8 o'clock. The Flashes have to lose. And Ball State's right there in the middle at 7. They have to win. Why wouldn't this season come down to a game like this?
Right.
Come down to a day like this? With all the ups and downs that this program has been through this year, and really if you want to include the off season as well with all the transfer portal madness, just makes perfect sense for it to come down to the final night.
I would imagine you were covering Tuesday with the win against Kent State, and my question would be this. I was out of the area, and I haven't had a chance to listen to the press conference and those sorts of things. I know what Coach said about a week ago about, you know, hey, even if we made the MAC tournament, we're not ready to compete in the MAC tournament. This was about a week or two ago, and clearly they played better here as of late. What did Coach have to say this week about the potentials that set up for tonight?
Yeah, you know, he said kind of what you would expect, you know, when it's not just up to you on whether or not you make it to the tournament. After Tuesday's game, you know, pretty much said that Ball State can control what Ball State can control, and they have to take care of business. Obviously, they did so against Kent State, coming off the heels of a loss to Western Michigan. And he was happy with the win against Kent State. You know, he called it like it was. It was an ugly game. But sometimes winning ugly is what a team needs to do down this stretch of the season. And he's pretty pleased with how this team has played, all things considered. Obviously, it's not a very deep team. It's an inexperienced team, but somehow they're still fighting for a spot to get in this tournament. And, I think he was optimistic after the Kent State game.
It's Kyle Smedley, Ball State Daily News. We'll be down over in Bowling Green for Bowling Green and Ball State. Big one tonight for the Ball State Cardinals. Still an opportunity to make the MAC tournament. They need some help, but they need to win first. This is the talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. The biggest positive, whatever happens tonight, the biggest positive for what's occurred this season has been what?
I would say just the development of some guys who either haven't played any college ball or haven't played at this level. You look at a guy like Davion Bailey, who came from a community college and is now playing at a Division I school. And he's, you know, as of a week or so ago, he was in the top 10 in the country for three-point percentage. He's really progressed. A guy like Ben Hendricks, he doesn't put up the most points, but he really does contribute to the team, and he's been playing through injuries since about December. And, you know, before this year, he really didn't get significant playing time at all. You have to be pleased with how he's been playing. And, you know, obviously, Bashir Jihad's development over the course of the year goes without saying. He probably should get All-MAC first team, and I would assume that he will. You know, last year, I think he started two or three games the entire season. Hasn't really resulted in a lot of wins, but the team has really progressed over the course of the season, and I think that's about verbatim what Michael Lewis said after the Kent State game.
Kyle Smedley with us. All right, I'm going to ask this very bluntly, in your opinion, and your opinion only on this. Does how tonight goes, if Ball State loses or wins, define to you how you look at this season after the fact?
Oh, man. I think if Ball State wins and gets in, I think that that says a lot about the team. I think a win says a lot more about the team than a loss does, if that answers your question. I think that if they were to win this game and to get into the MAC tournament, it shows that they can play under pressure, something that you kind of question throughout the entire course of the season, and they've kind of answered that question against Kent State. Can they answer it against Bowling Green? I think a win tells you a lot more than a loss does.
Yeah, and you know what? When asking that question, it just may not be fair, because who knows? You get in, you win a game, and it changes kind of, you know, at the end of the day. The story's not complete, and we know that until really tonight, and we'll see if it continues. But I just wonder, as we've gone through this season, you've interviewed Coach, I have too, we've covered this team, like, I think they know exactly why, if they don't get in, where it fell short. If they do get in, could that elevate the status of this season? Maybe that's a better way to ask it.
100%. Michael Lewis and the entire team knew the situation that it was in from the word go. You lost your four leading scorers from last season, had to start pretty much from scratch, you know, aside from guys like Bashir, Mickey, and Ben. I think that if they're to win tonight, you know, who knows, maybe Ball State wins, but either Western or Kent wins, so technically it doesn't really matter. But I would say that a win tonight actually would say a lot about how this team has matured and kind of grown under pressure over the course of this season. They knew where they were going into this year.
Yeah, no question about it. It's Kyle Smedley, Ball State Daily News with us. All right, let's just talk about their matchup, because the other stuff they really can't control anyway, and if they lose, then the whole scenario kind of goes up in smoke, as I said earlier on. So first matchup with Bowling Green, second one here. What stands out the most?
Well, obviously the big question mark going into the game is whether or not Bashir Jihad is going to play. He's a game-time decision, as far as I know. Obviously, Ball State proved that it could win a game and a game that really matters without him, you know, after beating Kent State. But obviously, you want him to play. He's statistically the best player on the team, and he adds a lot. That's the biggest X factor, I suppose. That's the difference. But Ball State's got to Ball State's got to get to the free throw line, I think. You know, in games where Ball State is successful this year, they've got to the free throw line. I'm just spitballing here. I don't have any actual, you know, game-by-game statistics. But it seems like whenever Ball State wins, it gets to the free throw line 20 or more times a game. And Michael Lewis hasn't been shy about the fact that that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to draw fouls. They're trying to get to the free throw line and make those shots.
Well, it seems like Bowling Green has kind of the same philosophy. They lead the Mid-American Conference in free throw attempts and rebounding, which would talk about the physicality of different things. So, stylistically, what you saw on Tuesday, if Bashir doesn't play, what were the biggest stylistic differences from what you saw Tuesday than when Bashir G adds in the lineup?
It's funny because, obviously, Bashir adds a lot to your paint presence, but Ball State didn't shy away from beating the ball in the post. Ball State didn't shy away from being physical on the rebounding end. I think they probably tried to draw a little bit more fouls than normal without Bashir, even though Bashir gets a decent bit of his points from the line as well. But there were a lot of threes. Really, it wasn't as much of a departure in style as I was anticipating without Bashir. But I think that they are going to have to be more physical. They're going to have to dive on the floor for loose balls even more, because you just never really know when you're without your leading scorer, you take all the points you can get.
It's Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News. Ball State at Bowling Green tonight, have to win, then have to have Akron and Toledo win as well tonight in order to head to Cleveland next week. Final question, Kyle, if Ball State wins, you guys heading to Cleveland next week?
We will be there regardless of if Ball State men's basketball is there or not, because the women's team will be there. So myself and I think about five other colleagues will be heading up to Cleveland, hoping that the men's team can make it, just on the fact that I have more to do. you know, I'm not necessarily rooting for them per se, just because you got to look at it on a biased standpoint, but I want more to work on, want more stories to tell, and it would be super interesting, I'll say that.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting tonight. Kyle Smedley and Zach Carter from the Ball State Daily News will cover Ball State men's basketball at Bowling Green. We've gone through the scenarios a couple of times and will throughout the rest of the program. Kyle, we'll be following along. Enjoy it, and we'll recap it next week.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
It's Kyle Smedley with us, Ball State Daily News. We'll take a break, come back. Power Talk among CWMUN. Brought to you in part by State Farm agent Jason May. Make sure you get all the discounts you deserve by calling Jason at 747-7100 today. Glad you're with us on the program. So a lot of Ball State action happening this week, and I saw the baseball teams in action. So is the softball team. There's a lot of spring sports that are really into the thick of things in conference play. I believe Ball State baseball's here. A lot going on there. A lot going on with high school basketball tomorrow afternoon, that is. Two regional games, Wapahani versus Tipton, Delta versus Fort Wayne Concordia. Both of those games can be heard on 96.7 and 102.9 Blake FM, but also seen on IHSA TV. So we're going to break it down with Rob Fisher coming up here in a little bit. But I'm going to bring this up about each matchup in Wapahani Tipton. I truly believe these two teams were on a collision course to meet each other when they both of them really started the season in late November, mid-December. Tipton got off to a very hot start, defeating 3A Delta, and then Wapahani started out undefeated up until the Delaware County Tournament. I mean, they were rolling through. Both of these teams have been consistently in the top five of 2A, and you kind of looked at the potential of the way the sectional brackets work out, that this was going to be possible. And here they are, regional-wise, and I truly feel like this is a 50-50 game. I really, really do. You see the advantages on both sides. You see the different stylistic differences as well. It is truly going to be a battle, and we'll see how it plays out. I know that sounds cliche, but that's a 50-50 matchup. Now, as you head to Delta Fort Wayne Concordia, this is a little different. So, Delta played two higher-ranked teams in the Newcastle and Yorktown on their way to a sectional championship last week. Fort Wayne Concordia is a couple spots lower ranked than those teams. It doesn't matter necessarily because you still have to play the game. But at the end of the day, does it come down to the fact that Delta played tougher competition coming into this one? I don't know how that plays out, but I'm just throwing that out there. From the way Delta played last week, they played really, really well. I mean, they were really good last week. They were excellent against Newcastle, really methodical in the way that they spread it out and then did all they needed to do against a rival in Yorktown and spread it out as well. If they play like that and can play like they do on the defensive end, I would expect Delta to win tomorrow. That would be kind of the thought process with everything surrounding that matchup there. The man who will be on the call of both games, Rob and I are going to have Wapahani too. In, and then Jared Boomer will step in and do the Delta Fort Wayne Concordia game. But Rob there for both of the matchups coming up tomorrow. We'll talk to Rob as we close out for the final segment of the week on this show, right after this on the Power and Talk of Muncie WMUN. Yes, welcome back. Final time on the program, Power Talk of Muncie and the new WMUN, brought to you, as always, by Sheriff Goslin Roofing. Your roof is there to protect your family. Make sure you're doing all you can to protect them. Sheriff Goslin Roofing has been helping families for generations. Remember to call Pete Doyle or look them up at worryfreeroof.com. Glad you're with us. Always glad. The czar, as I call him, of high school sports, athletics, and analysis. It's Ron Fisher with us. The czar. We've crowned you.
Hello, Marcus. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Okay, so you remember this conversation. I imagine you've been listening to a little bit of this show. Remember last year, I asked you, because you've all the notes and find things much quicker than I do, about the last time or ever there were two Delaware County schools in the semi-state round last year. If I recall, Rob, we didn't find two teams from Delaware County that had ever been in the semi-state round last year. Am I correct?
Correct. If I remember right, we had to go outside of Delaware County, and I think the only one we could find was 05-06 Muncie Central in 4A and Newcastle in 3A.
Yeah.
And they actually both made it to the state finals that year as well.
Okay. Because I bring that up because last year we're like, well, this is super rare to have both of them. Well, it could happen again this year.
Yeah, you could. No question about it.
And I get it. You know, I've heard when I brought that up before that people say, well, it's a two game semi-state and a one game regional. And I get that. I totally understand that. But at the end of the day, the fact of the 100 years of this tournament and it never happened once and it just so happened to happen last year, I think that's pretty noteworthy. And it could happen again this year.
Yeah. And it's the same two teams, too. It's pretty rare, no doubt about it. And I've got a good feeling about tomorrow. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Delta has won now two sectional championships in a row. And then if you go back for Wapahani, it's three in the last 4 years. These are two very consistent programs. Let's start with Wapahani Tipton, which I think on paper, and again, I want to stress on paper in the way we analyze this, is going to be the better game and more of a 50-50 really good matchup between two top 6-7 ranked teams, depending on where you sit. What makes you feel good about this matchup for Wapahani?
I like the fact that just after watching, well, we saw Tipton early in the year, of course, in December against Delta, and then watching them a couple of times on video, I just think that if Wapahani, if they run their offense like they normally do, a lot of screens, a lot of cutting, make a team guard them, I think they can break Tipton down. I just don't think Tipton's as good defensively as Wapahani is. They've got a couple size advantages, that's for sure. The Carpenter kid, they list him at 6'6", and he's long. But I like the way Wapahani runs their spacing and their screening and their cutting. And for a team that's not real big, they do very well on the offensive end. And I think that's where they have a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, I remember back at that December game that was at the Fieldhouse Classic, the evening game, themselves Delta, an overtime game. It was a great game, and I think both teams came out of it feeling pretty good about the way they competed. You and I, after watching that game, sat back and say, Tipton's the best team we've seen. Now, yep. where does Tipton rank now based on the teams you've seen, non-Delaware County schools? Is it still the best team you've seen?
No, I would say Westfield. We had Westfield over at Yorktown. But Tipton's, you know, if you include the Delaware County teams, they're definitely top four or five.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. But it should be – you called it. It's a pick 'em, and, you know, the shooting stats are virtually the same on both sides. And all the team stats are almost the same. So we'll see how she goes.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Rob Fisher, our analyst on high school broadcast. We got two regional games tomorrow, Wapahani-Tipton and 2A. All these at LaPel. It just so happens we get to stay at one site this time, Rob. The 3A matchup is Delton-Fort Wayne-Concordia. And I keep driving this point in, and I don't want it to come across that this is an easy game for Delta, because Fort Wayne-Concordia had to earn their way here just like Delta did. But just go by the honest aspect of it. Delta, on their way to a sectional championship last week, had to face two higher-ranked teams than they do in the regional. That's just fact. You don't know how a team like Concordia might be clicking at the right time, but at the end of the day, based on what Delta did last week, do you have the confidence if they play as well as they did last week, they should be moving on to semi-state next week?
I really do. You know, I think that from top to bottom on the roster, they've got the better athletes. They're the quickest team. They were so locked in last week for the two games, the Friday night and Saturday. The fact that three different kids led them in scoring in three sectional games, plus the two leading scorers for the season weren't one of those three kids.
Right.
It was some others. And just so locked in, I thought they got great play off the bench in both games as well. If things play out the way they should, and, of course, we're in the Indiana High School Tournament, so they don't always play out the way they should.
Right.
But I feel really good about Delta's chances. I just thought they were so locked in for those two games that we saw last week. I really think they're going to carry that momentum through this weekend.
All right, we got about 30 seconds here. For those that need to know, next week is a kind of a blind draw for the semi-state round. Now, Rob, you may know this, and I should know this, and I tried to search it out. There's not a defined matchup for these teams next week, correct?
Correct.
So it's completely blind.
Sites have been chosen, but it's all based on geographics, and then they do the blind draw for as far as the teams playing each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So, which takes place on Sunday.
So we don't even know who to project who these teams might play, which is just adds to the mystique of it all, right?
Yep, there's eight in the north and eight in the south, right?
Yep. That's what I thought as well, unless I was missing something, and I knew you would be able to confirm that for me. But it's, you know, Delta last year was at Elkhart, and then Wapahani was at Logansport to give people an idea, and I believe both of those locations are on the list this year as well. So, anyway, we got an interesting day tomorrow, Rob. I'm ready for it. Thanks for all you do, and we're looking forward to seeing you out there tomorrow.
Looking forward to it too, Mark. Thank you.
That's Rob Fisher with us on the line talking about two regional broadcasts tomorrow on Blake FM and on IHSATV.org. So big night for Ball State, big day for Wapahani and Delta. Thanks to Kyle Smedley, Rob Fisher for joining us, all of you for swinging by this week, and to Jared Boomer and Zach Johnson for filling in. We'll recap it all Monday at 4. Have a good weekend.